right, you know, you're in the face, you're outgoing, you'll reach people, right? You know, you're not like this. Okay, in the same way you're outgoing, you always have an audience, and God's always just, he watches your every move. He's so excited over everything you do. You know, anytime you want to cry, he's bleeding for you. When you get your feelings hurt, he's watching everything you go through, every moment, every time. And keep doing that. Keep on keeping clean and before him and laying everything out before him. I mean, God wants to use you as a wave through the school system. I mean, just going with God's presence. And on purpose, God will have people go like this to you. And another person will do this. And that is not because you're bad. And it's not because you're not good. It's not because of, but it's an awesome thing for the strengthening of your personality with the relationship with him. Right. So when you go by, you see those people, and this is the presence of God just going whoosh, whoosh, whoosh over all these people, but don't watch the effects. Just keep running after Jesus. When I was a child, my mother would turn on Jimmy Swaggart. We had Christian radio, and Jimmy Swaggart was this is back in the 70s, so, I mean, this is 100 years ago, almost. And I would come in, and it would be kind of like Ricardo just sang. Yeah. And the anointing was there, and it would fill the room, and I would just, like, with God, man, I was just like, man, I give my life to you, God. You got my all in all. And I'd see my mom driving up in the driveway. I'd turn it over to rock and roll and walk out of the room. Just to irritate the snot out of her, okay? So kids at school will do that to you. Okay. So even if they're looking at you and just like, don't pay it no mind. Your value test will never be in them.
Test.
Okay? Amen. Go, girl. Amen. All right.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. We'll stand up.
I'm young and old, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. And as a young mom, you know, we just went after 100% God. We knew that only God was the right way. Yeah. We didn't know that there was so much danger and so many bad things out there. Right. We just went after God. And, you know, now we find ourselves older. And, like, I gave my mom to God, and he's got her in heaven. And, you know, it's not like giving up a mate, but there's other things in your life, and you just keep going after the God stuff only.
Amen.
And it's so much better. It's Amen. So much better. Don't go for any imitations.
No.
Don't go for anything that is not 100% God. And right. He's in your private life, in your daily home. Amen. That's where we've seen the most success right. with people of God, is where they didn't do it just at church.
Right.
They Come did on. Not do it just on Sundays, on. But when they had That's God right. in their home,
Amen.
And they right. did that every That's day, right. and in their private life, Amen. That's when my mom got sick, that you saw those two people sitting there and singing, "Come in time, the master calleth, come in time." I'm thinking, wow, she's going to go eat with Jesus. You know, it was just Jesus songs. They sat there and held each other mm-hmm. and cried and spoke mm-hmm. of the presence of God right. and the victory of the Lord. And I just mm-hmm. encourage you, do not settle for anything less than God's best.
Right.
All of us.
Always. Always, yes. Amen. Just stay up here a minute. You know, I was reminded back when we were youth pastors here at this church a long time ago, 15 years ago, 13 years ago, something like that. And we had a young lady, Kenzie, in our youth group who was, I mean, she was a frontline young lady. You know, she was out there. I mean, she was out there. And we're still believing God that she's not quite so far out there right now. But she got so many people coming to the youth ministry. It was unreal. You know, we'd go into the schools and she'd introduce us to her friends, and she had all kinds of friends, you know. And we just loved those kids when they came in. And I'm going to tell you something. You are going to be, God is going to use you mightily, and he's going to use you in school, out of school, and after school too. I mean, he's going to use you. He's going to, go ahead.
Look, guys, don't bite and devour one another.
Okay.
Stand up, Danny. Look at this guy. I can say, now look at this shirt. This one, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to be critical.
You're doing a good job.
Oh, good, good. Okay, all right, you know. This guy's got a job with the mafia, right? You know, I mean, you got to be scared of this man. He's got a gun. You know, go ahead and sit down.
Not really.
No, really. I shouldn't be critical of him. Right. Don't be critical of him. There was a time when I was a teen that there was a, you know, I was like mixed up and wondering. And mom and dad never talked bad about anybody. I went to somebody my mom and dad never thought I would have went to. And I sat under their wing and all they did was point me to Jesus.
Right.
But if my parents had been critical and cut down that person could have never, I would have never went to them for Jesus.
Right. Right.
And you know, I'm saying that each one of us pray for the person right. over there.
Right.
You guys right. pray for the people
right.
over there.
Right.
And you don't understand what she walks through no. all the way. But pray for her. I bless what the Lord's doing. Increase right. in her life. Increase right. of the presence right. of God. Yep. This girl's got to go to work in a little bit. So I'm in the name of Jesus, I thank you for increase
Amen.
Of the anointing of God in her life.
Come on.
And Father, she believes she's a believer and that she's going to speak God's word only. And then just worship the Lord. Father, I thank you that work, she cannot speak evil of anyone. Her lips will not speak deceit. But Father, I thank you that she's going to pray
yes.
for the people that she
Hallelujah.
Encounters. And the anointing
yes,
of God
yes,
is there to
yes,
bring the power and the
yes,
anointing,
Lord.
Setting people
Hallelujah.
Free.
Glory, glory, glory.
Setting them
glory,
free. You can
glory.
See what they need. You can see. I break that spirit of addiction.
Come on.
Maybe what you say
In
over
Jesus
one
name.
Person.
That's right.
Okay,
Hallelujah.
Over another one,
yes.
is God, you're better than
yes.
that.
Come
I
on.
Bless what you're doing in their life.
Hallelujah.
I bless
glory,
what you're doing
glory,
in their
glory.
Life. And Father, I thank you. She is a handmaiden of the Lord. And these hands
yes.
will reach with the
yes.
anointing of God to the people in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It shall. You are placed strategically where you're at
Hallelujah.
So you can see and speak the word of God
Hallelujah.
Only in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
This
Hallelujah.
Is a community that is very, very on the cresting edge. When we drove through town, we saw all the buildings with the update paint color. We saw everything placed beautifully on the outside.
Right.
Do not let the people go to hell.
I'm right here.
I know.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Praise God. You know, I want us to do something before we get too far into the message this morning. I want every one of us to stand up one more time. And what I believe is that too many times we spend too much time in the natural realm of existence. I mean, yeah, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. We are of a heavenly kingdom. As a matter of fact, if we base our life on this kingdom and this America's kingdom, we're going to fall. I'm not saying America's going to fall, but you're going to fall. All right. So you got to base your kingdom on the heavenly kingdom that we're part of. That's really the real kingdom anyways. Amen. That supersedes every kingdom on this earth and every nation on this earth. And so I want every one of you who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want you to start praying in the spirit right now out loud. Come on. You just be bold. Come on, we're accessing the kingdom of heaven here, not the kingdom of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to speak over this church and over this ministry and over the pastors. Pastors Gerald and Laverne Relaford today. I want to speak over this ministry and every person that names New Life for the Nations as their church and as their ministry, because it is your ministry. I'm going to tell you, you are not going to be a church that looks back and says, oh, I remember when, and I remember this, and I remember that. The good times that we remember in the past, they're good. But God doesn't base our future upon the past. He bases our our future upon His Word and upon the existence of His Word. And He bases our future upon the Word of God that's spoken out of our mouth. And He bases our future upon Himself and not upon us. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says that if we are faithless, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. And I'm here to tell you today that the power of Almighty God is here, and He cannot and will not, never will deny Himself. And that the power of God is present to heal, to deliver, and to save today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The guy in the back, I think, is this grandpa to you? Is that your grandson?
No.
Okay, this guy back here? Okay, you know, God's got your number, and God loves you, and you are almost a total absolute, you know, I mean, you're getting close to 18. You're not 6 months old. And when I saw you, I saw that God has your number, and He's saying, what you make choices on today will determine your tomorrow. So make sure every choice you make is a godly choice, a great choice for Jesus.
Amen.
Because God's got your number, and He loves you bunches.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now, last time we were here was camp meeting. It's true. But you know what? I believe the Spirit of the Lord is present everywhere we are. Amen. All the time. He doesn't wait for camp meeting time. Amen. We used to sometimes, but He never does. He just says, it's camp meeting time all the time. It's time for my power always to flow. And we came here this morning to encourage you in the Lord and to call strength. Excuse me. To call strength to rise up, but inside of you through the Word of God. And I want you to receive this Word today with encouragement. You can sit down. I want to share. And sweetheart, just stay up here for a minute in case you want to input something real quick. Thank you. Last time we came down here for camp meeting, I never have done this before. I never ended up in Loretto. We lived here for 20 years, and I was never in Loretto, Kentucky. Never. All right, I never accidentally passed through it. I never purposely drove through it. As a matter of fact, after driving through it the other day, I thought, well, this is Loretto. But I thought some other things too, like, why did my GPS do this to me? Because when I left Pastor up in E-Town, I set my GPS, and it took me on a bunch of weird roads. It didn't bring me down 210. I completely forgot about 210 for some reason, and ended up in Loretto. When I got to Main Street in Loretto, it said, and I entered Main Street, Campbellsville, Kentucky, it said, you have now reached your destination. I thought, this is the craziest GPS I have ever used. I've just never done this to me before.
You have reached your destination?
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. And so what happened was we went into the great big country store there in Loretto, the only store, I think, in the town. And I said, where am I? I didn't see the sign Loretto on the wall there, on the outside of the wall, the store there. And the woman looked at me like I was nuts and couldn't read and said, well, you're in Loretto. And I said, oh, okay, well, this is Loretto. I remember Danny Armell when I worked with him at the car lot. He would talk about Loretto sometimes. And I thought, this is where Danny lives.
So we're going home, and I have to use the bathroom, and I only like really clean, exactly what I want kind of bathrooms. This guy pulls into a gas station of some kind, and I walk in there, and I'm mad as fire.
Wait a minute, let me interject. In self-defense of being
trying to make it good.
Yeah. In self-defense of being a good husband, my wife was starting, you know, one of those things that we call fits, and it was growing hairs on it.
It was not a Holy Ghost fit.
It was not a Holy Ghost fit. It was a hairy fit. And so I was just trying to please her as much as I could. You know, I mean, we were on the interstate, and I was trying to get her to a potty place.
Which was really good because we didn't realize right in front of us was a big traffic jam. Can you imagine if I had to go potty and we were in that? So he pulls off to this rinky-tink little gas station. I walk in. Now I know you're supposed to do all things without grumbling.
Amen.
Do all things without complaining.
That is the word.
Yeah, right. So I walk in and I'm like, I'm going to get him a Richard. No, it was not tongues. It was murmuring. I walked in there and sure enough, there's no toilet paper. I go to, and I walk out, and I'm like, that guy's going to get it. He is in bad trouble. I mean, he's bad trouble now. So I walk to the next stall and where I'm going. I come out, and can you stand up for a minute and say hi really quick? Just go, hi. Okay, you see that? She comes out with toilet paper and goes, hi. I am throwing a woman fit. I mean, you know, the angry woman. Come on. Oh, man, all right, you're good. You're acting innocent. I know your wife never does that. So and she comes out, hi. And she's like, toilet paper? And it's this roll here, wasn't it? Was it this roll of toilet paper or this roll of toilet paper?
A big roll or a little roll?
In my brain, it's this big. And she's, see? Right. Yeah, it was that one. Okay.
And the guy's room didn't have any toilet paper at all, so.
So we end up talking with them, having a great time with them, and we just fellowshipped over the Lord. Then we talked about the craziness of our GPS, and we mentioned this town, and who has to come up but the little boy that was born. No?
Loretto or somewhere.
Raised?
Lived.
All right.
Raised.
He's raised there. So that got us with Danny again, which is an old, very old, really, really old.
Old friend. Okay, now the funny thing is when I walked into the guy's room, I saw the condition of that guy's room, and I said, I'm in trouble. Because if the women's is anything like this men's room, she's gonna nail me to the wall. And you know, but the funny thing was I came out, and I came up to her, and I'm sorry, it's Keith,
Sheila.
Keith and Sheila. They were trying to get around that traffic jam on I-75, and we've traveled that way so much, we know Cincinnati area pretty well now. And so I said, well, yeah, you just do this and this and this. They didn't do what I said, because Keith is a man too, and men don't listen either, you know. But they went through, and the traffic jam was gone anyways, and it took us longer to get around back home than it did them. Oh, I'm sorry. But anyways, we just started talking, man. We started talking about things of the Lord and stuff. And I said, on the way home, I told my wife, I said, you know, God never does anything by accident. I believe it was the will of God for us to end up in Loretto, Kentucky. And we didn't meet them in Loretto. I mean, this was before camp meeting, Loretto was. And then after camp meeting was the bathroom thing up in Cincinnati area. But it was just awesome. We got to talking about the Lord. And this guy, and I'm not going to let him talk. I know he's too dangerous to talk. If I let him start, he's going to preach the whole message and I won't have time. But he's like a walking Bible. I mean, and he's not like a walking Bible like he sat down and had to struggle to memorize it. It's like it's life. It's spirit and life inside of you, brother. And so they came. You guys are living in Springfield? Oh, you are in Loretto. Okay. They live in Loretto still. So they came all the way from Loretto. God bless Loretto. I'm telling you what, God is going to do a mighty work in Loretto. I believe that. And they brought their friends Sam and Cheryl, Sam and Cheryl from Loretto, and of course, Keith knew Danny Armell from Loretto. So Danny and Joanne are here, and we're just honored to have you guys here, man. We really feel honored. As a matter of fact, we're going to be back the fourth Sunday of next month. If you don't make it every Sunday until then, we'd love to see you again the fourth Sunday of next month, August. I'm ready.
Okay, let me have this. Get your stuff. Okay, you know what we missed today to come see you guys?
Oh, man.
Ken and Trudy Blunt. Who's that? Nick Ademus and his wife are at our church. Richard and Crystal have never been to our church. Richard and Crystal are going today to see Nick Ademus, Gospel Bill, and we're not there. And we are so excited. We are so glad to be here. We love you, and you guys are so worth it. And we just praise God that we're with you.
So you know what? We may have missed Nick Ademus, Ken and Trudy Blunt, but we'll see.
Hallelujah. Oh, we're on now. Okay. Yeah, you can take me down a little bit and maybe take some bass out of the voice or something. I don't know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we are here to minister the word of the Lord today, and we are honored to be here. This is our home church. We spent 20 years here.
almost 20, 18 years or something like that, ministering in this church and serving in this church. And before we ever ministered, we served, and serving is ministry, let me tell you. So we just honor you folks for being here today, and we honor the Lord, and we honor Pastors Gerald and Laverne Relaford this morning for allowing us to come and speak the word of the Lord to you. I'm not trying to be fancy or anything. Again, I just don't have my printer here, and I don't like doing my messages until I really get them all down good and stuff. So, but I've got a computer here today, so that's why I have it anyways. I want you to open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. Last time I was here, we ministered on Gideon. How many remember the Gideon in the wine press? I love Gideon. I love Gideon because he reminds me so much of me. I look at Gideon's life, and I look at the things he went through, and I look at the fact that God called Gideon when he was the least of his clan, and I think, man, I'm the baby of my family. I literally am the baby of my family. You know, the doctor told, before abortions were legal, and we need, how many of you know, we need to pray in America to turn that and call it what it is, murder. But God forgives murder too, let me tell you. If you had an abortion, God will forgive you, all right? But anyways, my mother's doctor told her that they needed to terminate the pregnancy, and said, you can't carry this child. You just can't do it physically. I was the fifth child in six years. So, and it was tough on her, but she said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so she, thank God she didn't do that. And I'm here today because my mother made a choice. He said, well, it could very well kill you. And she said, well, then let that be. But I'm carrying this child. I'm not terminating this pregnancy. So I'm the least of my family. I'm the baby of the family, the youngest. Felt like a long time I was the runt of the litter. And I was for a long time. Now I'm the biggest one of the sisters and brothers, this way at least. And probably this way too. We're all thin. But I look at Gideon and I see the things that he went through. And the lifetime that he was in, and I can look at our America today, and not just America as a whole, but let's look at Loretto, let's look at Campbellsville, let's look at Columbia, let's look at Greensburg, let's look at whatever the other small towns are around here that I've forgotten now. Let's look at all of our towns and all of our areas, and let's look at what God wants to do through us and in our areas, in our communities. You know, and I don't want to preach the wine press all over again, but I want to really encourage you today to get out of the wine press. You're not gonna be able to reach anybody with the gospel of Jesus Christ as long as you're standing in the wine press threshing wheat for you and your own. All right? So let's not re-preach that, but let's go back to Gideon today because there's some more things in his life I want us to see. And so we're going to start Judges chapter 6, verse 11 today. We're going to start reading in verse 11 and just read a couple of verses here for starters. Now the angel of the Lord came, and I'm in a New King James Version. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You know, years ago back, I don't know, somebody came up with this, but years ago, I had a nickname, and like I said, I don't know who came up with it, but I would call myself Richard Faithful Pierce. Richard Faithful Pierce, you know, because faithfulness was something that I wanted to be a part of me, and faithfulness was something that was starting to develop in me. And so that was my name. I would go around, Richard Faithful Pierce. Richard Faithful Pierce. You know what I was doing? I was literally speaking the word of the Lord over my own life. I was speaking what God speaks over me. And if he was sitting there if I was threshing wheat in the wine press, he would have said, There is my faithful man. There's my faithful man. He would have sat under that terebinth tree and said, there is my man of integrity. There is my man of faithfulness. And that has always been the cry of my heart, just to remain faithful to the Lord and stuff. But God, the first point today I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, and again, I'm a three-point preacher pretty much, but the first point I want you to see today is this, that God will always speak to your potential, not to your problem. God will always speak to your potential. See, we spend so much time speaking to our problems many times that we can't see the potential. And God, he spent so much time speaking to your potential that he can't see the problem. Yeah. Amen. He can't see the problem. Because he sees his word. He sees his word in action. He sees the value of his word. He sees the commitment of his word. He sees the progress and the potential of his word working effectively in those who will believe. And that's what he looks at. That's what he looks at. The word here for valor means strength. It means might. I love this word. It means efficiency. Efficiency. And it means wealth. And it actually is also translated army. So what I see when God is speaking to Gideon, and Gideon is hiding all alone in the wine press threshing his wheat. When God says, I'm going to speak to this man and I'm going to speak to his potential. So watch out. I don't want to get too loud, that's all. And I preach with my hands. So, so anyways, God said, I'm going to speak to Gideon, and I'm going to speak to his potential. And what God was saying to Gideon was, he wasn't saying, Gideon, I see you as one man. He was saying literally to Gideon, I see you as an army. I see you as an army. I see you as a force, a mighty force going forth. I see you, and what I'm doing is I'm speaking to your potential, and I'm telling your potential to rise up. And you know, the amazing thing, of course, about Gideon is he does what most of us do. What does he do? He starts explaining why he's not a man of might. Or he starts saying, well, really, if I'm a man of might, after all, I'm catching a little bit of this by faith, you know, but if I can't see myself as a man of might, what I'm seeing myself is as well, God, you know, you just basically turned your back on our nation. Have you ever felt that way, that God turned his back on you? I have. But how many of you know he never turns his back on you? Never turns his back. Never. But with Gideon, God saw Gideon as an army. And I want you to notice something here too in this passage of Scripture, that God speaks to Gideon. This is a sub-point under this, that God always speaks his potential and your potential. God spoke to Gideon when Gideon was going through a hard time. Come on. God, listen, the Holy Ghost will speak to you when you're going through a tough time. The really neat thing about the Holy Ghost, though, is that he doesn't just speak to you in the tough times. He speaks to you in the good times. I mean, he just doesn't leave you. He just refuses to quit. He just refuses to stop speaking inside the Word of God to you and the potential to you. You know, now the thing about God always speaking to our potential and not our problem is that most of us have a hard time finding out what our potential is. Don't we? We really do. We struggle with our potential. You know, I mean, we just struggle with what God really wants to do with us and through us sometimes. So I want you to open your Bibles, and I'm gonna jump ahead here and then come back to that point. But I want you to open your, turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and we're gonna start there, and I'm going to get this thing off me because I feel really weird having two microphones on. Ephesians 3:14, when you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. I want us to look at just some of our potential here, okay? Now, many years ago, I had my wife and I were going over this verse of Scripture, or the equivalent to it in the book of Colossians. We were going over this passage of Scripture for month after month after month, just meditating on it and just allowing it to literally change us. You know,
many times we need to read the Word of God over and over and over and over and over and just meditate on it over and over and over and over until it actually becomes part of us and it becomes part of our life. And after doing this for several months, I said to my wife one service, I said, or one time before service, and this was back when we were in the old sanctuary there, and it was before the old sanctuary was remodeled any bit, and it was when the platform was still, how many remember when the platform was over here on this end? Yeah, a few of us do. Yeah, yeah. And I never will forget it, because we walked up on the platform, up those side steps there, and onto the platform, and I asked Pastor, would you please pray this over me? So this is a long time ago, over us. And man, he laid his hands on us, and he prayed this passage, this very passage of Scripture. Now, listen, remember, God never does anything by accident, and God always speaks to your potential, not your problem. And how many of you know, if we put all that together, that we can say that this was probably close to 30 years ago. It was probably every bit of 30 years ago, 33 years ago, something like that, that God knew that this morning I would be using this passage of Scripture right here. The pastor prayed over me 33 years ago. Now, when Pastor prayed his hands upon us, we had meditated on that Scripture so much, and it had become a part of our lives. When he prayed that, it was just like the power of the Holy Ghost just rose up in us and rose up in him. And as he prayed over us this word, it was almost like an electric charge going over this word. I mean, it was powerful. You still remember that, don't you, baby? Oh, okay. And it was powerful. I mean, it was just powerful to see what God was doing. I want us to look at this verse of Scripture. For this reason, verse 14, starting with verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom every family in the heavens and on earth is named, in order that he may give you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have anything to do with the inner man? No. I'm going to answer it before you do, because some of us think we have a lot to do with the inner man. And I'm going to tell you something. The inner man is the man that's been reborn by the Spirit of God. That is the inner man. You got nothing to do with that inner man. He is as strong and as active, and listen, he is literally the very essence and the very power and the very presence of God himself on the inside of us. Now, if we could just grab a hold of that, we would change this nation. We would change this nation one neighbor at a time, or one coworker at a time. But he's saying here, the Apostle Paul is saying here, that he may give unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. So often, we try and do things based upon what we think we can do. So often, we look at our own potential, we look at our own situation, and this is how we think that God looks at it. Because we forget that we are strengthened with his power by his Spirit in the inner man. And listen, church, when we grab a hold of that and don't let go of it, we'll see God do awesome things. And why will God do awesome things? He's not going to do anything. He's going to do awesome things because we're doing awesome things. We are his hands and his feet. Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with praying for revival, but maybe it's better that if we pray for revival that we start praying, God, change me. Change me. I know God moves. I know God moves in awesome ways. I mean, we were up in Toronto for one night for a service up there, and it was pretty cool during the Toronto revival back, in the 90s. I know God's moved awesomely in Florida in those revivals and stuff, and God's moved all over in Missouri, I think it was, Missouri, and that revival, and there's different areas where God is moving, and yes, God does do that, sometimes seemingly without anybody doing anything almost, but I'm going to tell you something, I can guarantee revival in this church, if you will get revived in your life, I'll guarantee it. I can guarantee, I'm speaking from a pastor's point of view now, and I'm speaking from a pastor's anointing right now, just for a minute here. I can guarantee that this church will be full if we just get so full of God that people, listen, people are attracted to the power of God. They're attracted to the presence of God. They want to see it in you. You are full of the power of God. Each one of you are full of the presence of this of God Almighty Himself. They just want to see that. They just want to. What's wrong with laying hands on people on the job and seeing a healing take place? I mean, man, that sets people up for success. I mean, you know, some people from some small town in Loretto ask us for directions, and all of a sudden we're talking about the things of God. Because I needed to get out of trouble and he needed to share God. He saved me. Oh, yeah. Keith, I mean you know, you saved me that. You saved my bacon that day, man. My wife was a different woman when we got back in the car. I was going, glory, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the power of God Himself dwells within our inner man. You can't mess up that inner man. You may mess up your concept of that inner man. You may mess up how you see that inner man. But I'm here to tell you something. Once the power of God hits that inner man is a brand new creation. You cannot mess up a brand new creation. We try. Oh, how we try sometimes to mess them up. But you can't mess up the blood-bought part of your body. Now, your head is a mess sometimes. Our heads are messed up. But that's not our inner man. Our inner man is different. Why do I keep on this? Because the potential is not in your head. It's in your inner man. It's in your inner man. Now we need to get our heads lining up with our inner man. And then you'll see at least two-thirds of you going along with the things of God. You know, we're a spirit, soul, and a body. We're three parts. So you get your spirit man, he's perfect. He's born again, he's perfect. He ain't getting any better, honey. I got good news for you and bad news. Some of us trying to get our spirit man better. You're not going to get your spirit man better. And by the way, you're not even going to feed your spirit man. He's filled with the presence of God Himself. Why does He need you to feed Him? What you need to feed is your mind. Amen. And your will and your emotions. That's what you need to be feeding. That inner man, he wakes up in the morning. He's saying, "Whoa, oh, glory to God, let me out of here. Oh, let's go. Whoa, whoa." You wake up in the morning and go, "Oh, my God, it's another morning. It's raining today." Oh, how many of you thank God for the rain? We need it in Ohio, too. So the inner man, Paul was praying that we would be strengthened with power by the Spirit of God in the inner man. Now listen to this next phrase here in verse 17, that the Christ may dwell through faith in your hearts. Being rooted and founded, my translation says founded in love. The old King James says grounded, rooted and grounded, I believe, in love. But the Christ, the word Christ there is not the last name of Jesus, and I know we all know that, you know, don't we? We know his name wasn't Jesus, first name, Christ, last name. It means Jesus Christ, Christ the anointed one in his anointing. It means his anointing. So what the Apostle Paul is praying here is that the anointing from the presence of the Lord will be rooted and grounded in our hearts through love. You see, God is speaking to our potential today. That's what He's speaking to. He is not looking at the situation we're in and saying, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get him out of that. I don't know. I don't." He's looking at our situation that we're in, and He's saying, "Wow, look at that. This sister's full of my word. This sister's full of my power. This sister's full of my anointing. This sister's full of everything I ever need for her. She's got it in her." That's what He's saying today. Now, if we're not agreeing with Him, then we short-circuit what He wants to do in our lives or through our lives. So we need to come into agreement. That's why we need to know what our potential is. That the Christ may dwell through faith in your hearts, being rooted and grounded and founded in love, in order that you may be fully able to apprehend with all the saints. And I love this. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? and to know the love of Christ or the love of that anointing which surpasses all knowledge. Don't you just love? You know, sometimes I look at God and say, God, how can you love me? You know why I say that? Because I'm looking at myself in my own problems. I am not looking at myself in the potential that God is. And so when I'm looking at my own faults, my own failures, my own sins, my own personal discouragements or disappointments, and then I look at God and say, God, how can you love me? I'm not really looking at life right. But see, his love, the Bible says, passes all knowledge. Listen, God loves me more than my wife ever will. And I'm thankful for that. I trust her love, but I trust the love of Jesus even more. He loves me. That's why I love that song. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. When heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I can't help but I just get passionate because he's passionate for me and I'm passionate for him. And we have a love affair right in the middle of his service. Or right in the middle of the seemingly the darkest hour in my life, we have a love affair, Jesus and I, because he loves me. He doesn't base his love based upon my actions. He based his love upon his action. And that one action took him to the cross. And that's what he bases his love on. And so everything is based on the cross. Isn't it great that I can't act good enough to get anything from God? Isn't that just awesome? Isn't it awesome that you can't act bad enough for God to say, all right, I've had it with you. I'm withholding my blessing from you. Isn't that awesome? Why? Because God looks at our potential, not the problem. You may think you've got the biggest sin in your life going on. And God just says, there's my daughter, full of my power, full of my might, full of my glory, full of everything I need. And oh, how I love her. She is just so special. If we can grab a hold of the fact that God loves us regardless of how we act, you know? Wow. Oh, how he loves us. In order that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints of God what is the breadth and length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled even to all the fullness of God. You know, I don't know anybody yet who's so filled to all the fullness of God. Never met anybody yet like that. But that's the will of God for us. That is the will of God for us. That we are filled with all the fullness of God. You know what? Well, you know what's going to happen when you are filled with all the fullness of God? You're going to have love-hate relationships with everybody you meet in life. They're either going to love you or they're going to hate you. Because that's what they did to Jesus. They were no middle-of-the-road people with Jesus. They either loved him or they hated him. Even the thief on the cross. Isn't that awesome? Guy's dying. The guy is a crook. He's a thief. Who knows what he did. He died. He did enough to end up being crucified next to Jesus. And he looks at Jesus and said, would you remember me today? I forgot how he worded it. It doesn't matter. It got through, didn't it? And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And the other thief, what was he doing? He was probably cursing and cussing against Jesus. Well, if you're really the son of God, get us down here. You blankety blank. You're a worthless slob. You nothing. You no good. You know, just like the devil tries to speak to us. He hated Jesus. So even on the cross, Jesus was involved in a love-hate relationship. One guy loved him. The other guy hated him. When you get so full of Jesus, you're going to be involved in love-hate relationships. But I got good news for you. You're going to have more love relationships than you will have hate. Because people want what you have. According to verse 20, but to him that is able to do far, exceedingly, above all. Can you catch those words? Far, exceedingly, above all. Does it sound like any limitations there to you? I don't hear any. But to him who is able, And by the way, who is the hymn? See, many times we think the hymn is us. No, it's not a song. It's okay. That's a little bit of dry humor, but you know, Danny understands dry humor too. So we got that, didn't we, brother? Yeah. But who to him, the hymn is Jesus Christ, who is able. It's not us. Too many times we make it about us, don't we? I do. Too many times I make it about me. God, what can I do? What can I do in this situation? And God is saying, it's not about you, Richard. It's about me. It's about what I can do. It's about what I can do. Man, I heard Pastor preach this message for years and years and years, and I still didn't get a hold of it. For years and years and years. And I'm going, no, 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 it can't be. Something's got to be about me too. But it's not. It's really not about me. It's about him who is able to do far above exceedingly all that we could ask. And I love this next phrase, because what this does is it knocks out all of our human intelligence and all of our knowledge, all of our human knowledge, and it brings in God's above all that we could ask or even think. Can you catch that? Can you catch that today? Above all that we could ask or even think? Even think? I mean, it just far supersedes and far surpasses all of our knowledge, all of our intelligence. And God is saying, listen, if you can just allow me to rise up in you so strongly in the spirit man, in the inner man, I will do far above what you could ever ask or think. Oh, my goodness. Not my goodness, but God's goodness. According to the power which works in us. And then we go back to this thing, okay, according to the power that works in us. So that means I got to have this power working in me. Somehow I got to get this power effective in me. I got to get this power. No! It means that the power that we just talked about, being strengthened with power by His Spirit in our inner man, it's already at work in us. There is no lack in our inner man. So what is lacking? Well, my situation, brother, is tough. You know, my job is not very good, going very good right now, and finances are not. And what's lacking? Well, to you, it's your job, it's your finances. But to Jesus, what's lacking is His word that's not being spoken. That's what's lacking. I mean, it's interesting. It's different. It's interesting. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. To my natural mind. But it makes sense to the Spirit of God. What's lacking? Nothing's really lacking. Only us getting into agreement with the Word of God. And then the third point today is this, and I'll be closing in a little bit. God is a reaffirming God. God is a reaffirming God. You know, my wife and I, we communicate a whole lot more now than we did back when our kids were younger and we had, you know, four boys at home and stuff. We have more time to communicate. How many of you know that can be a blessing, and how many of you know that can be an awakening? And for the women, it's always a blessing. For the men, it's a blessing sometimes, and sometimes it's an awakening. Can I get a witness, men? All right. Somebody didn't leave me hanging. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Two awakenings going on here. And I thank God for the awakening. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for the awakening. You know, some of you men who are older and your kids are grown and gone, you know, there's more time to communicate with your wife. And it's like Ronnie and Barbara here, they work together a lot. And you know, my wife and I, we worked together a lot when we were pastoring. We were co-pastors and we worked together a lot. And, of course, then we both worked outside of the church as well. But sometimes she would come on the painting jobs with me. And those were some times. And, well, I mean, they were good times. we had a lot of communication going on then too. And communication is a good thing, but the thing I love her, and the reason why I brought all this up, I guess, and to get back off the bunny trail, was that as a parent, as a father, I was a letter of the law kind of guy with my kids. So were my parents. You know, my dad was, I mean, man, you just didn't backtalk my daddy. I mean, if you did, you got a hand across the mouth, or you got your mouth, usually you got your mouth washed out with soap. And how many of you know that Ivory soap does not taste good? I've never tasted a good tasting soap yet. And I've had several flavors in my mouth over as a child, you know. And, of course, the belt on my backside, on my bottom end, which is where the belt belongs, not on the back and not on the legs, really. It belongs on, oh, well, I mean, it belongs on the waist for most of us. But my wife says amen. But, you know, I was always the, this is the way to do it, now do it. Now, it was easy for me to say that because then I'd go to work, you know, be the big strong man. And, you know, back when we were working at R&R Auto Sales, man, working 10 to 12 hours a day and, you know, 6 days a week, all, you know, a lot until he finally woke up and got married. And and then he let us off on 5 days a week, you know, with the day off or something. Yeah, that's where we were praying for him to get married a long time. So he would mellow out a little bit, and he did. So he's a good man, though. He loves the Lord, man. He's just awesome. He's just full of Jesus, too. I'm talking about our old boss, Stan, you know. And he's just a blessing. But my wife had to fulfill my vision. She had to make the kids do what I said do, in other words, you know. And but she was always the gracious one. I was the, you know, this is the way you do it. And if you don't do it, bend over, swat, swat, swat. Okay, let's pray. Let's love each other, and let's go on. Now you feel all better, don't you? Yeah. You know. And but she was the one that would always come alongside of me and bring in that gracious, loving, that woman touch, you know, that a woman gives. Well, at least she did, you know. And she would always reaffirm the kids. God is always reaffirming us. Always. That's my third point, by the way. God is a reaffirming God. In verse 14 of Judges chapter 6, God looks at Gideon once again after Gideon comes up with all his excuses. Why, you know, well, why, God, you turned your back on us, or well, you know, you gave us over to the Midianites and they've been persecuting us, and God, you don't know how tough it is and how hard we've had it. And God just starts crying with him and says, oh, I know it's so tough. I just feel so sorry for you. I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm going to try my best to get you out of this situation. Oh, wait a minute. That's not in the Bible, is it? God didn't do a bit of that, did he? He just kind of ignored him. How many? Aren't you glad sometimes that God just ignores us? He ignores what we speak sometimes. Amen. I wish that my wife would ignore some of the things I speak sometimes. But she catches all of it. She's got good ears, man. And we got a good marriage. I better say that right now, you know. But God just kind of ignored Gideon. In verse 14, this is what he says to Gideon again. But God faced him directly. I like that, don't you? God faced him directly. God, look at me. Look at me in the eyes. Now let's talk. That way I can see the hurt that I've caused and the pain and maybe the anger. And, you know, God says, look at me, Gideon. Look at me. He faced him directly. And I can imagine Gideon looking directly in the face of God going, you know, like us, I don't want to look at this. I don't want to see this. I'm not looking. I'm looking everywhere else but God, you know. And God says, look at me. Face him directly. And this is what he said to him. Yeah, you. He faced him directly and he said, go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Didn't I just send you? Come on, God says, didn't I just speak to you and say, go? I mean, all of these excuses Gideon comes up with, and God just says, look at me again. Let's talk about this one more time. Let me reaffirm what I'm telling you to do, you know? I'm filling you with my strength. I've already filled you with my strength. I've already called you mighty man of valor. I've already sent you. Go do it. Have I not sent you? It reminds me of Moses. When God meets Moses on the backside of the desert, you know. 40 years on the backside of the desert. And said, you know, go set my people free. And Moses said, well, God, I can't do this. I can't even talk. I stutter. I'm not even a good talker. And God finally just, Moses just refused to do what God said to do. So, okay, then get your brother. I would have said it like that. God probably said, okay, go get your brother. He probably smiled when he said it. I just said, oh, just go get your brother then. Haven't I sent you? Haven't I just sent you? God's a reaffirming God. Listen, we talk about Abraham a lot of times, but do you realize that at least 13 times in Abraham's life, God reaffirmed his covenant with Abraham and his covenant promises? We look at Abraham and go, wow, but what a man of God. What a man of God. And he walked in faith for 26 years or something. I don't know. He was 70-something when God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And he was 100 when his son was born. We look at Abram and say, man, he walked in faith for 26 years. No, he didn't. He walked in faith for something like 8 months before his wife conceived. We look at all these men in the Bible and these women in the Bible, and wow, they were powerhouses for God, and they were full of faith, and they were full of the anointing, and God, just give me a double portion of what, you know, we pray that, God, give me a double portion of what Elijah, was it Elijah? Elisha served Elijah. And Elisha said, well, God, he said to Elijah, when Elijah said, what do you want when I go? He said, well, give me a double portion. Listen, I don't want a double portion of what Elijah had. I just want the Spirit of God on the inside of me. That gets me everything I need. You know, sometimes we pray amiss and we don't get what we ask for. Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet that was around. Didn't he say that? Jesus said John the Baptist is the greatest prophet. In other words, John the Baptist was greater than the prophet Elijah and Elisha. And yet he said a greater one than John the Baptist is here. I don't even want the anointing of John the Baptist. I should have wanted my head chopped off. But you see, the thing is, the God speaks to our potential. He doesn't speak to our problem. He speaks to our potential. He doesn't have to speak to our problem because we are the ones that have to speak to our problem, but we have to speak the word of God. God said, if you will say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. And I love to tie that in with Romans, for with the heart man believes, and with the mouth, confession is made. So somebody does have to speak to the problem, don't they? But you know who that somebody is? You. You get to speak to the problem. So I'm not saying today don't speak to your problems. I'm just saying God doesn't. He speaks to your potential. He speaks to everything he's planted inside of you. He speaks to the power of strength and the inner man that's rising up inside of you. That's what he's speaking to you today. He's not speaking to your problems. You know, I would love it if, and Christians would love it all over America, if all we had to say was, God, would you please do something about my mountain? And the answer that if you would listen to the voice of the Lord, the answer the voice of the Lord would say is, yes, I've already done that. It is through Jesus Christ and what he paid for on the cross and your deliverance and your righteousness and your salvation and your victory and your healing and whatever you need is in the cross. It's in the cross of Christ. It's already in your inner man. It's already been planted in there. It's seated in there. It can't be changed. And God is saying, just rise up. Come on, church, just rise up. Rise up in the strength of the inner man that God has planted in there. Quit looking at your problems, or at least speak to them. Speak the word. Amen. I don't like problems. I don't like mountains, and to be honest with you, I try and not look at them as much as possible because it doesn't get me any victory. I look at a mountain, I don't get any victory out of it. I mean, after the mountain's gone, yeah, then you get to shout the victory. But how, you know, when you're trying to climb a mountain, of course, God said tell it to get out of your way, not climb it. But you understand what I'm saying, that when you're trying to deal with that mountain in the natural, in natural existence, it's not fun. And it's a mountain. And he says, speak to it. Speak to the mountain. I love the song, came out of the church at Lexington years ago, probably, I don't know, 25 years ago now. I will say to the mountain, move. How many remember that song? And I will say to the mountain, move. And I will say to the mountain, get out of my way, because I believe there is nothing that I need that he won't provide. There is nothing that I want that he can't supply, because I believe. I mean, that song has stuck with me through all of these years, and I have sung that song probably thousands and thousands and thousands of times in my life, in my own private, you know, time with the Lord and stuff, and while I'm on the job and I'm singing and praising God, and you know, why? Because I refuse to look at the mountain except to tell it to get out of my way in Jesus' name. You have no right in my life in Jesus' name. Hey, listen, we every one of us get hit with the same things. The devil has no new tricks in his bag. It's the same old thing. And, you know, I like what one preacher said. Why does he use it? He asked his wife, why does the devil always use the same thing on me? It was finances in his case. And she said, well, probably because it always works. Why should he change his tactic if what he's using works on you all the time, right? Keeps you defeated in that area. Well, you know what you do? You know what you do? If finances are your problem, if that's your mountain, then you know what you need to do? You need to get into the Word of God concerning finances. You need to find out what God says about money and start speaking what God says about money. And don't misquote the scripture and say, well, the love of money is the root of all evil. Is that how that goes? The love of money. Yes, the love. Yeah, most people misquote and say, well, money's the root of all evil. That's what they say. I've been not said that for so long, I said it wrong. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So if money's your problem, start studying, meditating on the Word of God. Just meditate on the Word. Let that inner man be strengthened. I mean, he's already strong. You get your mind strengthened. You get your mind renewed by the Word of God. And I know money is a simple thing for most of us. It's a simple thing. I don't ever worry about money. I don't have to worry about money. I serve a God who's big enough to take care of everything I need and everything I want, and he does. And I'm also a giver. I'm a tither. So you can't just meditate on, but the thing, the really cool thing about it is, for those of you who are tithers, is you know that it's the more you meditate on the tithing Word of God, what happens? All of a sudden, something changes inside of here, and you go, this does not make a bit of sense. I know, you know, in our society, to get more, what do? You can all you get and get all you can. I got that off Andrew Womack. Can all you get and get all you can. But in the kingdom of God, in order to succeed and to be prospered and to be blessed, you, number one, tithe. Well, thank you. I got some nods and some amens out of that. Number one, you tithe. I don't care what people say. Tithing was before the old covenant. They say, well, that went out with the old covenant. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Number one, you tithe. And number two, you sow. You sow, and you sow, and you sow, and you sow. And you go, sow? No, you give, and you give, and you give. Hallelujah. I just share a little experience with you, and I'm closing. Okay, is it okay to close? All right. I'm going to close here. All right, the church we attend up there in Westchester, Ohio now, I know what it's like being from the pastor's side, and I know what it's like being from the people's, you know, from the people in the pews side, okay? So the pastor is believing God for $150,000, and I'm going, oh, help us, Jesus. You know, and don't get me wrong, it's not, I mean, it's for extras. It's for extras in the church. He's believing for $150,000 this summer to come in extra. And I'm looking around at the people, and I'm going, well, I know that person. They could sure afford to give a lot, you know. You know how we do. And God is saying, what about you, son? And I got this, and I'll be honest with you, I got this $1,500 tax bill coming up just on my property. And no, I don't live in a mansion up there, okay? Taxes are really high in Ohio. And so I got this $1,500 summer tax bill coming up. And I'm thinking, Lord, how am I going to pay that $1,500? Well, I'm like most of you are, hopefully, you've got a savings account and I can access my savings account if I have to. But I don't like accessing my savings account for daily expenses or living expenses. I'm believing God, you know, to prosper and to grow in that area as well. The barns, the Bible says your barns shall be filled with plenty. And that means accounts as well, savings accounts as well, for those of you who think that, you know. Well, anyways, for who agree with me, you'll just really jump on that really nicely. And so he called us into his office, the pastor did, because several families were going to be gone that following Sunday. He was going to share the vision with the church, and we were one of the families who were going to be ministering down here. We came down here last time to minister, and so he called us into his office. And I just said, well, I said, I'm believing God for $1,500 for my taxes. And I said, we'll have our gift in the offering next Thursday when we come back to church after being in Kentucky. And we did. We put our, I'm not going to tell you how much we put in there, but we put our money in for church, for the forward vision. This is what he's calling it, forward vision. And we were happy to do it. Now, I know that all of you are thinking, yeah, now he got that $1,500 in for that tax bill. I'll bet it was supernatural. It was. I went to my savings account. I pulled it out of my savings account that God supernaturally gave increase in to and gave me money, work to make money and to save money. And I paid my tax bill. I didn't get $1,500 in a mail. Well, I wasn't even believing for it. As a matter of fact, I told my wife the other day, I said, it's not fun checking the mail when you don't have people that owe you money from painting, you know. You like to check the mail every day when you know that there's several people out there that owe you money from painting. The point is this, that we prosper and we succeed because we're believing God and we've meditated on the Word of God for prosperity. And I just don't worry about it. I just don't worry about it. And if I need money or if it looks like I need money, I pray for more jobs. And guess what? I get jobs. Now, there are some people in positions that they can't go out and work. They can't go out and pray for, you know, we used to pray for car sales. You know, I mean, we did, you know, I mean, we just, as a matter of fact, Danny was a wild guy. I think he probably still is, but back then he was a wild guy in car sales. And when I first started working there, he said, yeah, I believe God that the angels of the Lord are going to direct, you know, our buyers to buy the right cars at auction so they can bring them here. We can make the best money on them. And I thought, what? You know, this guy's really out there. You know, until I saw the benefit of it. And then I started believing God for the same thing. You know, and boy, we had a good, successful car lot. But the point is this. Whatever you need in your life, God's not going to speak to your mountain and tell it to move. You're going to speak to your mountain and tell it to move. But you got to speak to your mountain and tell it to move based on the Word of God. If the Word isn't in there, you can speak all you want, but it ain't going to work. You got to get the Word in here. It's got to change your mind. The Word has to change your mind. I said the Word has to change your mind. I'm going to say it again. The Word has to change your mind. The Word has to change your mind. You're not going to get anything without the Word changing your mind. And you speaking it out. So what are the three things? Somebody tell me what you got this morning. I've got a pastor that does this up in Michigan, and I like it. Somebody tell me what God spoke to you this morning, real quick. Just don't make me a message. Just tell me in a couple sentences. What did God speak? Somebody over here. Go ahead. Covenant. There you go. There you go. That's good. That's good. All right, somebody over here. Now it's somebody over here. That's good. Yeah, he speaks to your potential, not your problem. Go ahead, sis. He is faithful. That's right. So over here, somebody over here want to share something? God spoke to you. Listen, it doesn't have to be something I said. It's just something that the Holy Ghost speaks to you.
Gideon, he said army.
Army, yeah. I was shocked when I was studying that out. I thought, army? He's one man. Yeah, we're all an army in here. Somebody else. Somebody over here. Somebody else want to share something that God spoke to you about the message. Or through the message, whether it was through the Holy Ghost or me. Awesome. confirms and reaffirms his word. He's an affirming. How many of you know God is an affirming God? He is an affirming God. He affirms things and reaffirms and reaffirms and reaffirms and reaffirms until we start believing him. All right. Well, praise God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, thine glory, you've revived us again. Hallelujah. 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 You've revived us again. Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to Jesus. Jesus, we want to say thank you today for your word. We want to say thank you for changing our hearts and changing our lives. We want to say thank you for your word being confirmed with signs following, Lord. And Father, today as we go out of this place and as we go out of this assembly this morning, Father, I thank you that you are going to bring it back to us, that you speak to our potential, not our problem. That, Father, we are to speak to our problem based upon the potential that you placed within us, not that we placed within us, but that you have placed. Father, I thank you that you are also a reaffirming God, that you constantly reaffirm us, and we're so thankful for that, Father. Lord, we're so thankful that you constantly, constantly, constantly speak over and over and over and over and over and over and over us again and again and again and again and again. Your word and your blessing, your covenant blessing over us. We are so honored today, Father, to be part of your covenant. Just simply because of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you today that the potential inside of us is not our own strength. It's not our own abilities. It's not our own giftings, Lord. But the potential inside of us is that we are to be strengthened with might in the inner man by your Spirit. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you for your Spirit rising up. Lord, we're not asking for more of your power to flow down from heaven today. Father, we're asking that we release more of your Spirit from within to flow out to minister to the needs of others. Hallelujah. So, Father, thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now, before we go, I want to say this. You're up here too, and that's good. That's good. Because is there anybody here who wants prayer for anything? Anything. If you need a healing, listen, we believe that Jesus Christ healed you 2,000 years ago, or actually about 2,010 years ago, something like that now. We believe that you are already the healed of the Lord, but we want to pray. If you need a healing in your heart, and you say, man, pastor or brother, I want a healing today, we want to pray for you. So if you want a healing today, now I'm going to ask for another one now. What about? If you have a financial need today, you say, pastor, I've got a financial need in my life, man, and we need God to minister to us financially. I want you to come up here. I believe that God is the God he's the God that speaks to our potential. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now, I sense the Holy Ghost rising up here just with people walking up. I sense the power of the Holy Ghost rising up because people are saying, look, I need this and I want this and I'm after this, all right? Sweetheart, would you come up here too, please? Those of you in that are standing there in the audience, I want you to be praying in tongues. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the unction of speaking in other tongues, you stretch your hands out to the ones we happen to be praying over at that point, and you just start praying in tongues, and you just believe that the power of God is, because he is, he's flowing through you. Amen? Would you believe that with me? That he's flowing through you as you extend your hands to these people. Listen, this isn't about us. This is about God. All right, let's just make sure our eyes are on Jesus today and just keep our focus upon Jesus. Do you have anything else that the Holy Ghost is sharing?
Mental mind games. Enemies trying mental mind games on you. If that's
okay. Hey. All right, we understand what that is. That doesn't mean you're going kooky. It doesn't mean anything like that. What it simply means is that the enemy is playing mental mind games on you, and you want prayer for that today. You want prayer for clarity of mind today. Let's call it that, clarity of mind. Then let's believe God for that. Amen? So just come on up. Hallelujah. Remember, nothing's going to happen if we don't stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Amen. Let's get into agreement that the Spirit of God is stirred up, and He is. The best way to stir Him up is to pray in tongues.
Why don't you just pray with us, since you're the associate pastor here?